Hello, everybody. Welcome to another, actually our third episode of Rob's Tabletop World podcast. So I hope you all are having a wonderful week. I can tell you it is exhausting already. We have just been through if it could happen here, it happens here. And that's something that when you go out and you buy a farm, you run into all kinds of different things, and it's pretty funny how it all kind of works out. My son decided to go out and add some more chickens to what we already have. Now this is a little bit of a story, but I'm not gonna make it too long. You want to hear about board games and all kinds of other things. But anyways, he goes out and buys a bunch of chickens. And of course, he does not listen to his father. And I said, well, you know, we're going to have to get them acclimated to the other chickens. And to do that, you know, we've built a coop. We have three coops and a giant pen. And then it connects to a fence that goes out into the pasture. So we want to raise these as free range. Basically, you know, chickens like to roam around eating this and that. You know, they're basically garbage pickers, but what it really helps is that they eat a lot of protein and they produce eggs that you'll never see in a store for sure. So he buys these chickens, and then he goes, yeah, Dad, they'll be fine. I talked to the guy that I got them from. All we got to do is just put them in the pen and let them do whatever they want to do. Well, they're smaller than our other chickens, and our other chickens, they're a little fatter. We beef them up a bit. They eat some grain. We provide grain for them to fatten them up. You know, more protein, bigger chickens, better eggs, right? Sounds pretty simple formula. Well, these are a little smaller because they were free-range chickens. So he brings them home, puts them in the pen. I said, put them in the new coop that we made. And let's just keep them in there for a little while and just see how they adapt. Nah, they'll be fine. They'll be fine, Dad. So they start roaming around and they start following the other chickens. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it, right? Oh, he's beating his chest thinking, you know, he's the man and that he's got it all figured out. Well, he goes in the house. I go in the house. And then we come back outside. He checks. We go to check on the cows and stuff like that. And they're still roaming around the field. Well, it starts getting dusk. And we have this little door that we just slide down to disconnect the coop from the open pasture so they can't run out or any kind of predators get in at night. Well, he goes in, counts all the chicken. Guess what? The three new ones are missing. So now it's completely dark and we're out there with flashlights trying to find these chickens. And, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I told you so. And, you know, I made sure he knew it. I said, we should have blocked everything off. Like I said, they don't know to come back to this coop. They haven't been around it long enough to know that this is their home. So, of course, completely dejected. You know, he figured something got at them or ate them or they're lost or they're trying to head back from to wherever we got them from. Well, we gave up searching after about an hour and a half, and I just said, you know, maybe they'll come back. You never know. I go to work at night, and then I tell them, you know, when you get up in the morning, the first thing you're going to need to do is kind of take a look out and see if they're there. Well, he goes out there. Of course, there's no chickens. Our rooster, whose name is Daryl, don't ask, we didn't name him. He, you know, he's crowing, beating his chest like he normally does on any other day. And my son just happened to be outside during this. And of course, I'm at work. And all of a sudden, one of them comes flying out of the forest. You see, the problem is that our entire property is fenced in by cow fence. Now, our bigger chickens can't get through that fence, but these littler chickens can get through and run all over roughshod the entire, you know, neighborhood if they wanted to. So he gets one, he puts it into the coop, and he goes, all right, at least I got one. I don't know where the other two are. Well, he's watching his son and his daughter, and my wife had to go to work, and my daughter-in-law had to go to a doctor's appointment, and he just keeps looking outside. Well, I get a call at work. It's about 11:30 in the morning, and all of a sudden he goes, I found the other two. They're way on the other side. So they walked across our property and went into the neighbor's forest. So he's out there and he's going, I got them in my sight. I just can't get close enough to get them over. So he waits for my wife to come home and decides that he's going to figure this out, and he's going to try to get these chickens. Now, catching a chicken, it's just like a Rocky movie, okay? You try to catch a chicken, that thing's going to outrun you 99% of the time. Somehow they're able to corner one of the chickens and they grab it and they get it into the coop. All right, so 2 out of 3. So we're feeling pretty good about everything. Well, my wife tries to help him. My daughter-in-law tries to help him. And they are trying to get this one chicken. Well, this one decides it's going to fly up into a tree. So they spent hours trying to get him down. They finally get him down, and he would move a little bit and then fly up to the next tree. So finally I come home and I look at them all, and they're all exhausted, and they're just completely frazzled over this chicken, which is just, it's just mind boggling. They get the chicken and they get the chicken out of the tree. And the way we do it is, what I had them do was, there was an old dying tree, and I had them go get the little chainsaw. We have a battery powered chainsaw, and we cut down this. It's almost like a giant branch. So I take it and I shush him out of the tree. He just flies right down, and now he's moving around. I said, don't go near him. So what do? They go near him. And they run them off. So finally, we're chasing this stupid chicken for a good 20 minutes because nobody will listen to me. And I said, listen, everybody just stop. I get a branch with a whole bunch of leaves on it because I don't want him to fly up into the tree again. So how do you prevent that? Well, if you have a long enough branch with a bunch of leaves and sticks on it, he's not going to try to fly through the branch. He's going to try to run where you want him to, and you have to lead him that way. So I had my wife over to the left, my son over to the right, and my daughter-in-law's filming this whole thing for his YouTube channel, which is Florida Homestead. You can check out our farm and all our animals, my daughter, my granddaughter, and everybody else, and check it out. It's pretty interesting. He does a lot of different things on there. So they're more concerned about filming this for a YouTube channel instead of getting the chicken in the pen like you're supposed to. So I'm just telling him, slowly get him to go through the fence so he's back onto our property. I have the branch over him so he can't go flying out. He goes through the fence. And then it becomes this thing where you see five people kind of direct at this chicken who's trying to go 17 different ways to get him to head towards the pen that we have for him. After about 10 minutes of directing him and trying to get him to go the right way, because he wants to go left when you want him to go right, we finally get him in there. And he just looks at me and he's all out of breath, and he's gone, Dad? I go, yes, son. You were right. We should have separated the chickens. So we get the chickens into the new coop. I lock the door. And I put up the little fencing that I wanted to put up to separate, because we have three different coops in there. It's a huge area. I put some fencing up, zip tie it in. And then when they're ready, once they know that's their home, then you just cut the zip ties and take the fencing out. And I got it all the way up to the top of the point of the coop, so there's no way they can get to the other side with plenty of room for them to see their new roost mates or the other hens, and they can acclimate together. Took us 10 minutes. Okay. If he just listened to me and did what we were supposed to do, okay, the first time, we wouldn't have been in that predicament. All it took was 10 minutes to put up that fencing, like I said, and put them in the coop and leave them in there for a little while. Well, needless to say, all three chickens are fine. And now we are up, I believe we're up to like 14 or 15 chickens somewhere in there. And of course, Daryl the rooster. But what they spent 5 hours doing could have prevented if they just listened and just did what I said for 10 minutes. Not a pretty good trade-off, wouldn't you say? Well, we've got plenty coming up on the podcast today, and how better than to get started than let's talk about some board gaming on the other side of this. So now we talked about a little bit about the adventures that go on here at the Oren Farm. nothing ever seems to end here. But, you know, let's talk a little board gaming. And I want to elaborate on a thought that I had. And to put it plainly, I've been putting together my list of the top games for 2022. It's a video I do every single year. And as I'm putting this list together, I'm looking at some of these games and I go, well, you know, this is a pretty popular game. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I worried about if it's a pretty popular game or not? All that matters is what I think about it. But I started thinking more about reviews for things and how some of the things I like get critically panned a lot of times. And it made me really think, what does anybody have a right to judge anything? I mean, you could always say what you like and what you don't like. Don't get me wrong. The point I'm trying to make is that there are, you know, the ease of having a podcast, as you can see, any idiot can have a podcast. All you have to do is get a program, upload it, and you are automatically a podcaster. Okay. Now, whether somebody listens or not, that's neither here nor there. But the same thing with being a YouTube board game reviewer. What are the credentials that you need to be a YouTube board game reviewer? Well, you know, back in the day, okay, you know, making it seem like a thousand years ago, but a while ago, you know, there wasn't a lot of people that were doing this. And a lot of those people are pretty much gone, to be honest with you. You know, Undead Viking, completely irrelevant of his own doing, of course. you know, Tom, who is still around. Rotto, we'll save that for another story. Rodney, who isn't a reviewer, is probably the smartest one of everybody. But, you know, a lot of these channels have been, you know, some of these channels have been around a while. And, you know, they are grandfathered in. They are the people that people originally started going to YouTube to learn about board gaming. Hey, I mean, look at Will Wheaton's show, how, you know, what that did for board gaming. It did a fantastic job. But what did he really do? Did he review anything? No, not at all. He played a game with a bunch of Hollywood people, and it was fun. He made it fun. And he made you want to go out and buy that game because you got to see the game. The game was explained. You saw the gameplay. You saw the strategy. And you thought, hey, you know something? That really fits to my group. But nowadays, all it is making an account, getting a camera, and saying, I'm reviewing this board game. I'm doing this unboxing. I have a board game channel that makes me a board game reviewer. Well, does it? Does it? Do you really get a feel for the game from 900 different places? And just because they say it's good, does that make it a good game for you and your group? because somebody just decides that, you know, that they can just start a YouTube review channel and tell you whether a game is good or not. Does that, you know, what credentials they have? Matter of fact, what credentials do I have to tell you if a game is good or not? Do I have a little background? Sure. Do the people that create these channels, do they have a background? Probably. You know, they've probably played games for a while. But what are they doing? Are they trying to you know, give their opinion because they're so passionate? There's so many people that are so passionate about board gaming. Or do they see people on YouTube and go, well, you know something? I can do that. I can do that. And I could probably do it better. And maybe I can get some of those free games. And what happens when they do get that first free game? When they contact, you know, they beat on enough doors. And then finally somebody says, okay, I'll give you a chance. I'm going to send you this game and you're going to review it for me. So I'm going to tell you a little story, okay? And I'm going to eat a little humble pie here, okay? I'm not going to mention the game, but I'm going to tell you a story from way, way back. And just to let you know that everybody's human that does this, okay? I'm going to take a sip of water here. We don't edit stuff out. If you see my YouTube channel, you'll understand exactly what I'm saying. Now, back early on, when I first started doing this stuff, I wasn't trying to beat on doors or anything like that, but I was, you know, doing a lot of painting videos because of things. And I really started the channel because I built a Death Star and I wanted to make money. I started the channel because I wanted to film that, because what I was trying to do was get people to watch how I built this giant Death Star. It was a 4x4 Death Star for X-Wing. And I was going to bring it to the Dice Tower convention. At that time, I think it was like 600 or 900 people were only allowed there. And every year they would have the Jack Vassil Memorial Auction. And I wanted to do something positive because, you know, when I listened to Tom talk about his son, I was very moved by that. You know, he loved his son very much. And for the short time that he was here, and it touched me, because nobody should ever lose a child. I couldn't imagine it. We all have loss, but I was moved by that, and that's how I started the channel. And I auctioned it off and we made money for it, and I felt good. And I said, you know something, I just want to continue to help people, and I'm going to use this channel to raise money for charities. Well, you know, the channel started to grow a little bit. And when I mean grow a little bit, I went from like maybe 600 people to maybe about 1200, 1300 people, which for me, I never dreamed. And I'll never forget that thing when I told a couple friends, oh, hey, I got a YouTube channel. And they go, yeah. I go, I just hope I can get 100 subscribers one day. Can you just subscribe? And I thought that was such a magical thing. And then, you know, to have 1,200 at that time, you know, I was just completely blown away. There were just, I never expected the channel to do anything. But yet, I have a gift of gab, and I really felt that I had a message to bring to everybody. So a company had been watching my videos and said, hey, you know, we'd like to send you this. And we'd like to get your thoughts on it. And I went, what? Me? Oh my God. Yeah, sure. And now here I'm thinking, oh, I hit the big time. Someone is sending me a free game and I'm going to review it. I'm going to do the best job ever. I'm going to shine this thing up like there's no tomorrow. And boy, I'm going to make these guys proud of me. I got the game, and it may have been one of the worst games I've ever played. And I was very conflicted about doing the video for it. I'm not going to say what game it was. I think you can kind of surmise things if you want to watch maybe 30, 40 videos of my first year or whatever, you know, it was. Now I got 3,000 and something, or 4,000 videos. Good luck finding this video. But I shined it up. I made this thing look fun. I made it look good. And deep inside, I hated that game. I put that video up and they liked what I did. But that's where it went wrong for me. And I started to doubt myself, because I kind of sold my soul to the devil for that one video. And it's one of the biggest things that you hear. You know, I only listen to people that buy their own games. Well, no, you could be objective. It's just you have to be brave enough to be objective. And that was one time I wasn't. And I swore to myself, because I remember that night, after that video went up, it did all right, but I felt horrible. I said, you know, I'm doing everything that I don't want to do. You know, I just told people that this was a good game, and it wasn't. It wasn't. And I vowed to myself that I would never do that again. And I felt guilty about it ever since. Matter of fact, this is the first time I'm ever even telling this story. And from that point, I started watching other channels, but with a different eye, maybe a little jaded even. It was like, okay, that guy's getting that. Is he just doing that because, you know, he wants to keep a relationship? Well, I've done some work for some bigger channels, and I've seen a lot of things behind the scenes. We will broach that at another time. I don't want to go into it now, but there's a lot of stuff that goes behind the scenes. When you have any kind of viewership or power, you control what, you know, I want to make sure I'm the first one that gets that. I want to make sure that my video is the first one out. And they have that kind of power. And they kind of put the publishers in a bad spot, because not only is this giant conglomerate, you know, asking for it first, but this other one is as well. And is it fair? No. Is it the way the business works? Yeah. I mean, from the music business, you guys remember the old record stories, you know, how artists would have to do certain things to get their record play. Well, it's the same thing with games. And are you getting an honest review? Now, what I'm trying to get at, and what I started out, is now with so many channels out there, you know, there are people that start to do this that want to do it and do it the right way. But that temptation's going to be there, because there's so many of them. How can you take any of them at what they say? Can you get an accurate feel for a game? Do you have somebody that you trust and that you put all your heart into? Do you have somebody that you've played the games that they've played, and what they say mirrors how you think about gaming? It takes a lot of research and can be very exhausting. Or, you know, are there people trying to make names for themselves by trashing a game? Oh, this would be cool to trash. I'll get my name out there. I'll be controversial. I'll be the next Howard Stern of board gaming. and I'll stir up all kinds of emotion, because that sells. Drama sells. Drama sells. And it sells quickly. Can I be that person that can cause enough drama that I'll get people to start watching me and wonder what I'm going to say next? Or, you know, there's a small bunch out there that really believe in what they're doing. I want to do this because it means something to me, because it's fun, because my passion is board gaming. I bet you a handful of them are that. Then you got the guy that wants to just be famous, wants to be YouTube famous, wants to get paid money. They see other people getting money. Why can't I make that money? I don't want to work at Walmart. I don't want to work at Publix. I don't want to work at a Target. Okay? I'm tired of pushing carts to the front. I can make that same money if I get a bunch of people following me in Patreon all I got to do is sell my soul any way I can to get that money. And then I don't have to work hard. I could play games and make money. And as there's more and more of this younger group coming in, you know, and every time you turn around, and I've said this a million times, every time you ring a bell, there's another YouTuber, board game YouTuber. Okay. Thinking they could do better than the other guys. Some people are very, very good. Okay. And deserve the acclaim that they have. Some are just bad. And, you know, how many times do you see those covers where they try to attract you to watch them with those goofy faces or looking up into the sky or super, you know, you'll never see that on my YouTube channel. Okay. It's cheap heat. Okay. It's getting cheap heat. And with a lot of the old timers, you know, like myself, I've been around a bit, you know, do they make too many videos? You know, does it get stale where you start looking elsewhere? You know, oh God, I used to watch, X for God knows how long. And I just got tired of it. It started to change. They started to put in political views. Or, you know, people will use certain things, crutches to try to get popular. It's all about it's all about the numbers. It's all about the views. And for them, that's what works. That's what works. Because at the end of the day, for a majority, it's about getting paid. It's about getting the free game. It's not about what you do. Okay? It's not about what you're doing. It's not about sharing and building a community. It just continues to grow and gets diluted. The message gets diluted. And it's tough. It's tough. You know, a lot of the older things, they're constantly making videos. But does the term, hey, how can I miss you if you never go away? You know, and then if you stop for a while and take a break, do you get forgotten about and passed over? You know, there's always somebody nipping at your heels. There's always somebody wanting what you have. Okay. I don't have much, but you see people, you know, trying to promote their things on my channels at times, you know, in the comments, and you go, and you look at it and you go, geez, they never do that to Rodney. They would never do that to Rotto. They would never do that to shut up or sit down. They just get deleted. And it's, you know, you get these cheap comments. Well, you know, that's a nice job, but over on my channel, I'm going to be doing X, Y, and Z. And you go over in their channel and they got maybe 300 people following them and they've been doing it for 5 years. You know, desperation kicks in. It's not hard to do this. It really isn't. It's not hard to have a YouTube channel. It's not hard to make a podcast. I'm sitting here making one now, and I'm probably the biggest idiot in the planet. Okay? Yet I can sit here and I can talk. And boy, can I talk. I mean, that's why these episodes are going to be about an hour or so. Because your boy can talk. And I just wonder, and I really do, I wonder, does the message get so diluted? And has the board game community become jaded? You know, there's so many games and you want to get as so much information as you can because there are so many games, because they cost so much. Games aren't cheap, folks. Games aren't cheap. Okay. One game, you know, you could probably take your family out to dinner twice. You know, not a top line restaurant, of course, but, you know, you could take them out for a decent meal twice. You can buy a bunch of groceries for what some games cost. You could pay maybe a car payment, depending on your interest rate, of course. Where are you getting your information from? Are you able to get the information that you need? Are you able to process and filter through the unending, I'm making this channel about me. I'm not worried about the games. I'll sell the games because I'm a personality. Do you get those guys? Do you get caught up in their stuff and you're not getting what you want? Do you become frustrated and just go to the point, you know what? I'm just going to bring this stupid game in anyways. I'll try it. If I like it, great. If not, whatever. I'm going to tell you, I've tried to do some research on a couple of games because I'm not great at reading rule books. Okay. I'm okay. But if I could see it visually and I can get the concepts down, it makes reading the rule books easier. Now, there are a couple of rule books out there that, you know, some companies really put their heart and soul into a rule book. They'll get my boy, Gaming Rules. All right, Paul to write a rule book. Okay. Probably was the smartest guy in the room at times. Okay. And a guy I admire. I'm going to tell you a little story about him in a bit, even though this segment's going really, really long. But we're going to talk about rules on the other side of this a bit and how important they are and understanding and getting things down. But getting your information, that's what the real subject here is as we're 20 minutes in. You know, getting your information, are you able to get it from the right people? And do you trust those people with all your heart? Are they giving you a hard sell? Or are you just a shill? You know, some of them may see you as a shill. Okay, well, you know what? If I reach this guy and I smile and I bat my eyes enough, like any other actor, you know, maybe I could shake a little coin out of him to keep me going here. With so many board game channels, and they continue to grow, I don't even recognize half of them. Can you sift through and get your information? That's the question of the week. And I would love to hear your thoughts on that. And you can send those thoughts to NovaPrime860@hotmail.com. Let me know your thoughts. We'll read some of those questions here on the channel. And I'm surprised people are emailing me as much as they are. I really am. And I'm very thankful for it. And I'm very blessed for it. Thank you so much. It really means a lot to me. I can't thank you enough for it. So please keep those letters coming. Tell me what you think on this subject. All right. Are there too many board gaming channels? Does it dilute the message of a game? Are you getting the information that you need? Let me know, folks. Let me know at NovaPrime860. We'll be back with our next segment right after this. Hey, everybody, we're back. Now, you know, it's a funny thing. And, you know, when I decided to do this podcast, I said, you know something, I'm not going to script things out too much. The first one, I wrote stuff out and I know how I wanted to go segment by segment. But I always felt that I was at my best when I just shot from the hip. No script, no nothing. And that's what I'm doing here. I'm just making things up as they go. And really just kind of shooting from the hip. One of the things that I wonder that a lot of people go through is, how do you guys feel about rule books? How important are they for games in particular? You know, a good rule book can make or break a game, in my opinion. And, you know, this is something that I put out to you guys. And I wanted to bring this up because of recently I was reading a rule book for a game that I'm not going to mention because we don't want to give anybody good, bad press. Well, good press, right? You know, we want to give people good press. But I was really impressed. I could tell you one I was really impressed with was Undaunted Stalingrad. So well written. But anything that David Thompson does, he does phenomenally. Trevor Benjamin, another one. Whoever put this rule book together just does a fantastic job. And it made me think how important when I was playing the, trying to figure out this other game because I was completely lost. And then I go on to YouTube to try to figure out, what I wanted to, maybe somebody had put a video up there that I can maybe get a feel for it. So I know how to get through that rule book. Because most of the time it's on me, okay? But, when you have people that are brilliant, like a Rodney Smith, okay, who reads a ton of rule books, watch it played, as simple as that. And Paul Grogan from Gaming Rules, who I consider one of the most brilliant human beings I've ever had a chance to watch and understand. Yeah, my phone's dinging. It's not your phone, folks. I hate when that happens. My daughter-in-law's trying to get a hold of me, but she can wait. But every time I watch a video and all of a sudden the thing dings, I start looking at my phone. Okay, oh, who's trying to get a hold of me? Wow, did I miss something? No, it's on the video. So sorry about that. Let you know ahead of time. But Paul Grogan, and people like that do it very, very well. There's a couple other that do a fantastic job of deciphering rules and teaching you how to play the game. A one-stop show, one-stop co-op shop, I think it is. They do a great job breaking it down and teaching you a game. Whether they're playing it solo or they're reviewing it, however they do it, they get it down and they present it in such a way that makes it easy for you to understand. And those are my go-tos. But, I started thinking about this, trying to get through this rule book, because once I got through the rule book and, part of my problem was any video I found, it was a joke fest. I was 15 minutes in and they hadn't even started talking about the game because they were so busy with the puns and all that other stuff, thinking that, they're the next, Henny Youngman. Okay. That's dating myself. Jerry Lewis. Yeah. That's dating myself too. I don't even know who I could relate to this day and age, but, thinking they're comedians first, making the video about themselves. And I just became frustrated and I decided to take the time and really decipher this rule book. Once I figured out that this, I wasn't alone going on forums and stuff like that and realizing that this was just poorly written, but the game is very good, I started thinking, why would you not hire a Rodney Smith, a Paul Grogan, who has in the past written and produced some rule books in which he has done some phenomenal work. Easy to understand, easy to break things down, comprehensive, okay? Well done. I just admire the guy for what he does and how much he does it. And you realize when you look at these guys that read these rule books, the bad ones, the good ones, they get such a feel for rule books. Why wouldn't people consult these guys more often? Some of these channels, some of these board game players. Hey, take a look at this. Let me know what you think. What would you fix at it? Would it be worth the extra money to put in to make sure that you have a clear rule book? And if you have a really good, clear, and concise rule book, how much is that going to sell your game more? Wow, this was easy to understand. This example, I get everything that you're trying to say. All right, I'm ready to play this game. Hey, guys, come on, let's go. This looks like it's going to be fun. Or do you get that rule, when people don't do that, don't consult people, don't double check things, and just throw a rule book together and you go, oof, I don't get this. This is, I'm scratching my head over this. Well, I you know what? I'm just going to put this away. There's something else I want to try. How many times do you run into that? How many times have you run into bad rule books? And yet you know, these publishers and developers and stuff like that have the resources. They're right there. The same person that you're going to give the game to and say, hey, review this. Can you do a playthrough video of this? Can you help me with this rule book so it's more concise? Can you, I think it's the smartest thing to do. I think a lot of these companies should look at these guys. These guys are brilliant. Smarter than the smartest people in the room, for sure. I can promise you that. I've always wanted to meet Paul Grogan, and I'm going to tell this little story here. Back in the day, and this is going back maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we were corresponding a little bit more than we normally do. And we were talking, and he says, hey, are you going to Gen Con? Yeah, I'm going to Gen Con. And he goes, well, you know something? I'd really like it if we got together and talked for a bit. Because a couple of years earlier, I forgot a girl. The name of the girl, she was blogging. And it's one of the more famous pictures that I was in. For the cover of her blog, I was arm wrestling her. And here's this girl with this little pipe cleaner arm. And, you know, I've got about, 24, 23 inch arms. And she's sitting there trying to arm wrestle me. It was pretty funny. It was a cute picture. And I didn't know Paul at the time. And we sat down and we played a game and we had a really good time. And of course he slaughtered everybody because he's just brilliant. And, I'm dumb as a rock. I just like playing games. And this was at BGG Con. This was going way back when they were at the hotel in the airport. So a few years later, I start to get a little prominent. Of course, he becomes, Paul Grogan, plain and simple. And he goes, I want to meet you at Gen Con. I'd love to talk to you. And I was really excited. And I looked all over the place and I couldn't run into him. But he was doing something for Yellow. And I went over there to go see him, but he was surrounded by people and he was busy. I think he was in a meeting and I didn't want to interrupt. And then I said, well, I'll catch him later in the week. And I never caught up with him because I would love to spend some time with him and picked his brain. And it's one of the regrets I have that, if I go to maybe one more Gen Con, I won't get to talk to some of the people I really want to talk to. Or meet or something like that. And if I never get to meet the guy, I will always regret not waiting a little bit longer just to meet him because he really is a special, special person. And he's somebody that if you don't follow him on YouTube, which I couldn't see why none of you that listen to this don't, you really should take some time. Go over, take a look and see how he does things. If you want to learn something, he's as great as Rodney is. Rodney's special into his own right, of course. I'm not going to deny his greatness. But, there are great people out there in board gaming, and he's just one of them. But, the main subject, hey, how much does a rule book make the game? Can it make or break the game? I would love to hear your comments. I would love to read them here on air on Rob's Tabletop World Podcast. Just put that in the title. Tell me what you're writing about and email me at novaprime860@hotmail.com. You never know. You might find yourself here on the podcast, just like you will with the next bunch of people that will be talking about their emails here in our next segment. So I will catch you guys on the other side of this segment, and we will continue with fan mail. Okay, everybody, we're back with fan mail. We'll do some fan mail and then we will get on out of here. Another long episode, which is good, which is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you at least one way to work for some of you, and maybe some of you on the way to work and on the way back. I always listen to podcasts. I barely listen to music anymore, believe it or not, even though I'm forced to listen to Christmas music because it's the Queen's favorite time of the year. So without further ado, let's answer some emails that we got over the last week. And remember, if you want to have your question read on air here, or you have something that you want to ask, or maybe complain about, or anything, or stuff that you just want me to talk about, you can just email me at novaprime860@hotmail.com, and I'll be more than happy to get you guys out here and answer your questions for you. Our first letter comes from John from Ontario. He says, Rob, I have just did the all-in on the recent Kickstarter for the second edition of Oathsworn. You have raved about this game since it's come out. Even prior to, I saw your video when they were at your house, and the video really got me excited about it. And yeah, I didn't fund it the first time. After all this time, are you still in love with Oathsworn, and do you feel that it is a really good game, as I've backed it all in on your request, on your request. Yeah, that's what he wrote, on your request. And I'm hoping this is as good as it seems and can't wait for it. Oathsworn is a fantastic game, John. It's one of my favorites. I'm not going to reveal if it's game of the year. We'll be talking about games of the year next week's podcast for sure. We've got a lot to cover next week for sure. You know, we got the year end, the holidays. It's going to be an extra long podcast next week. So to get you ready for the holidays. But Oathsworn, I never get tired of it. It is hard. I've switched up characters to try to defeat certain monsters, and they beat me silly. But then when I get that, it's like playing golf. You can hit bad shots all day, and then all of a sudden you just hit that one shot that makes you come back the following week. And that's what Oathsworn is. It's not easy. It can be challenging. It can test your mettle. When you think everything's going right, all of a sudden it takes a weird twist and everything goes wrong, and nothing ever goes the same way. And it's just one of those special games that come along once in a while. And this one is just a game that I have to say is something unique, something special, and it really hits all the things I like. The miniatures are gorgeous, beautifully done. The monsters are terrifying and beautiful in so many ways. They were so much fun to paint. I got such enjoyment out of it. There's so many phases of the game, just the gameplay, in the town, making decisions there. There's so many things that come together with this game and just make it something so different and so special. It's just something that, you really just can't help but get excited about. And I'll tell you, if you backed it, I'm so happy for you, because when you get it, I hope you think of me, because you're going to love it. And it's everything that you can want, John. So great game, Oathsworn, Into the Deep Woods. Definitely a contender for Game of the Year on Rob's Tabletop World for sure. We got our next letter from Anna in Pensacola, Florida. Hey, a fellow Floridian. Rob, I love your paint videos. Do you have a favorite miniature that you have painted over the years? You know something? I really do. And it wasn't so much that I painted it. It's that I painted it together with my grandson live on the channel. This is going back a few years. The Chaos Dragon for Arcadia Quest. Yes, it was the Chaos Dragon. He was down from Connecticut, spending some time here. It was over the holidays, as a matter of fact, I think. And they were staying at the house, and I said, "Hey, you want to help Grandpa?" And he said, "Yeah, sure." So we decided, he was young. God, this is going back. And we painted it live on the channel. To this day, it's one of my more favorite videos because I don't get to see him as much. I haven't seen him in a while because of COVID, and that's a mistake that I plan on rectifying very soon. I miss him and my granddaughter very, very much. I'm very blessed to have my other two here, but you know, it's just never the same. You just miss them all so much. And the Chaos Dragon from which I have on the shelf and is going to stay here for all times. And it's just something I'll never get rid of because it just means something to me. It was a moment that we got to share together. It's kind of like, you know, it's just kind of like flying a kite or playing catch for the first time. It's just one of those things that, you know, you'll hold on to that baseball for the rest of your life, or you'll keep that kite in a trunk and remember when you took your grandson to go do this, that, and the other. And it's just for me, you know, my grandparents really didn't, I never met my grandfather, my mother's father. He died when she was young. My grandmother, she was a saint. Old Polish lady with a lot of gypsy in her, and she was special. My other two grandparents, they weren't very close. They didn't like my mom very much. They were good people, but we didn't do things together. My grandfather didn't have many interests. You know, he wasn't somebody to go fishing with you or do this with you, or, you know, they would come, once in a great while, they would come see me play Little League of something. And, but you know, I wanted to change that with my grandchildren, and I wanted to be very involved in their lives. And I'm very involved in the ones down here. And then, of course, you know, I call all the time up there and stay in contact and, you know, try to make sure I know everything about the little guy and the little girl, all, you know, all in the same. And love them very much and try to do things a little bit different. You know, try to be a very active grandfather. And painting that one miniature was very, very special to me and meant a lot to me. So there you have it. Chaos Dragon from Arcadia Quest. Probably not what you were expecting to hear, that's for sure. Sal from Kansas City says, "Hey, Rob, I used to watch you when you were with the Dice Tower for a few years, and then you had made the transition over to Board Game Geek. You did not stay that very long, I think almost maybe less than a year. Can you tell us what happened?" Boy, that one kind of caught me on the back of my feet here. I didn't read any of these beforehand. I just picked three and printed them out. And I really didn't read the questions because I always like to have a natural response to it. So, all right, here's the best way I can put this for you guys. Okay, I'm going to be very blunt and very honest. I think this is a subject for another podcast. Okay, because there are some things wrong there. But I will say this, and I will say this with the utmost confidence, okay, and utmost in my heart. Aldi is the greatest person on the planet. My problem with Board Game Geek was never Aldi, okay? I also had surgery at that time, which made painting impossible. And I could not make videos for a while. I probably could have done other things, but there were other circumstances that I'm just not ready to talk about because I just want to make sure that when I say these things, I say them correctly. I have the facts to back them up. And And leave it at that. Okay. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes of a lot of things, not just Board Game Geek, but, you know, every other facet. And, you know, some things people fit into and some things other people don't. And I'll leave it at that. Most of it was my arm injury. When I had to have my bicep attached back to my arm, that kind of put me out. And I've just recently started to try to paint again because of the pain and the numbness I still feel. And this is a year and a half later. But honestly, I have the utmost respect and love for Aldi. And I think a lot of it has me not saying things because of that respect and love for Aldi. I have no real problem with Board Game Geek as much as I do some of the things that have happened and some of the people that are there and how they've treated some of the smartest people in this business because they think they knew everything, where egos got in the way. And it was a shame. But I'm going to leave that for another time. And I think we'll talk about it in a segment when we have, 15, 20 minutes where I can really go into detail and really tell you how I feel. And give myself a chance to think of this on how I want to say it properly and respectfully. I think that's really important. And I think that's important. It comes down to character, morals, and ethics. And I want to do the right thing if we decide to talk about this. So we're going to leave that at that. That's going to take care of all our questions for this week, folks. So again, if you want to send in a question, I don't care how hard, I will do my best to answer it, like the one I just got, which caught me off guard, and I do not pre-read them because you want a natural response, not some canned response. Too many people try to put on a show, and all I try to do is just sit here on the other side of this microphone and talk to you guys and let you know what I feel and what I think and give an honest and heartfelt opinion on things and talk about subjects that I feel that are interesting. Now, we didn't hit any pop culture this week. I don't want to hit it all the time. But there are a couple things that I do have in mind over the holidays that I want to talk about. And we'll be talking about that in the upcoming episodes. So every week, either on Tuesday or Wednesday, the next episode will be out. So be on the lookout. You can follow us on Spotify, on anywhere that you get your Apple podcast or favorite podcast. For that matter, I am trying to figure out this technology the best I can. I hope you guys will stick with me as I try to learn what's going on here. And just know we are planning to improve each and every week as I learned one of my biggest handicaps, and that's technology, folks. I'm not very good with it, but we do try our best here to bring you a great, fun, and entertaining show. I hope you like it. I hope you give us a 5-star review. Help us out. I guess it does. I hear every podcast say that. So hopefully you'll do it. I don't know what it does. I'll be honest with you. I have no idea what a 5-star review will do. But maybe someday, maybe somebody can write me and tell me what that is. NovaPrime860@hotmail.com. Until next time, when we meet again next week, this has been another Rob's Tabletop World podcast. I hope you enjoy it. Episode 3 is in the books. We'll see you next week when we come back with episode 4.